Welcome. My name is Jennifer Olson, and you are joining us for the New Executive Leadership Summit. My guest today is an amazing individual. I love this woman. She's a leader. She's a business owner. She's a speaker who is always funny and laughs, as you can hear in the background. She's informative, and she gives tons of ready-to-implement tips that leave her audiences inspired and begging for more. My guest today is Joanne Burke-Peterson. Now, Joanne Burke-Peterson is the CEO, that's the Chief Efficiency Officer, of New World Office, a company that trains entrepreneurs, small business owners, and executives to be more profitable by being able to find the information they need when they need it. Her training focuses on creating systems that will improve the effectiveness of daily work. It helps workers reduce stress and gain confidence in handling the overwhelming amount of information they get on a daily basis. Clients say that Joanne's easy-to-understand approach helps them put their newfound skills into immediate action for immediate results. And leaders say that she changes their lives by analyzing how they spend their time, making them more efficient, which allows them to have a greater impact and be way more profitable. And personally, this is where I get to embarrass Joanne a little bit. I've known her for over 8 years, and I couldn't believe it was 8 years. We met working together with board members in a nonprofit organization. And right away, like, you'll see, she's so charming. She has this great accent, which she doesn't believe she has. She's so smart. She's direct. She's honest. She has this amazing set of skills that helps others around organization and productivity. And I was so impressed that I brought her in to work with my team when we were having a tough time. We had a new leader who was running us into the ground, and we were all burning out trying to keep pace. And I knew that we needed help if we were going to be able to succeed at this breakneck pace. And so with her help, my team did it. We hit or exceeded all of our goals. And on top of that, the system that she created for me personally, me, a crazy person who bounces from meeting to meeting in all different buildings and all different organizations, I was going crazy trying to keep myself organized. So Joanne helped me find a system that was helpful for my unique circumstances. And that system I still use today. She is amazing at what she does. And so with that, I want to introduce you to Joanne. And Joanne, would you start by just for a minute telling us about who you are personally so that we can get to know the real you? And while you do this, give us a little bit of an overview about what your business is about above and beyond the overview we just gave and what you're seeking to do as a leader in that business.
Well, first of all, thank you so much, Jen. I mean, I really should hire you to come with me on the road whenever I do presentations because, oh, my God. Thank you so much. I hope I can live up to that.
It's all true, my friend.
So what am I doing personally? I am someone who loves to get her hands involved in many things at the same time. And it was something that I never realized I did until one time I was talking to my sister, and she said, oh, so what's your week like? And I said, oh, well, I've got this board meeting to go to tonight, and then I have a presentation to give tomorrow, and I have to get some training going on for next week, and this weekend I'm going hiking, and then we're going to be going camping the next couple of days, and then once I start jumping, I have to finish that and get prepared for the board meeting next week. So I'm just a little stressed, and she just paused and said, so it's things as usual. And she said, you've always been like that. And she's younger than me. So it's funny that she noticed that. So yes, I am a person who always likes to have a bunch of things going on. And because of that, I think I learned at a young age that I had to stay on top of things and create systems to stay on top of things. And after many years, I started realizing that I wasn't the only one who had to do this. And that's kind of how my company, New World Office, was born. And I forget the other questions that you asked me.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you do through New World Office and then what you're seeking to do as a leader in that business.
So because of my own productivity challenges and creating strategies and routines, when I realized other people wanted to do this, I created New World Office. And what New World Office does is really helps people to understand that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And that's really what I like to do as a leader in this business. I want to give really every office worker a chance to see that light and to see how amazing it would be if every single office worker knew how to work more efficiently, be more productive, and not feel so overwhelmed by everything that's going on in today's office environment. Just imagine if every single person that you worked with in your office knew how to communicate better, knew how to get their things done on time. They were never late for meetings. They were clear in their prioritization. I mean, how awesome would it be to collaborate with these people? How well would you work together with each other? I just think it would be amazing to be able to create that type of world where productivity is key and everyone understands that everyone else's system is going to work for them. So that's kind of my goal as a leader in this business.
And that's an amazing goal, because let's be honest, in terms of productivity, if we can't get really clear on those priorities and how to get there efficiently, there's no way that we can be as impactful as we want to be. There's no way that we can make the profits that we want to make, whether we're in a big company or if we have our own company. There's just no way to do it without all the things you just talked about.
Mm-hmm. And the more I go into companies, the more I see how low the morale is as well. And when you look at your team, if the morale is low because people are really overworked, they feel frustrated because they're not getting things done on time, because they don't feel that they have the time or the skills or the means to do everything, then it's hard to work with those people. So when you improve productivity, you can really start to improve morale. People work better together. People are happier when they come to work. So if you're working with happy people, then you're happy, everyone's happy, things are getting done, and then the productivity increases, the profits increase. It's a win-win situation.
Absolutely. And so what do you do every day to take you a step forward on that leadership vision? Because it's an important one.
Yeah. I think one of the things I like to do is I like to talk about it. I try to talk about the benefits of productivity every day to someone, whether it's face-to-face, whether it's via Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn, you know, some type of social media, writing my blog. I think it's really important for people to understand that it's not just a fad thing, that it really does help people not only in your work office or your work life, but it starts to seep into your everyday life. And it can affect everything in your life. So improving that is just improving your life in general. And I think that's important for people to understand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. And I think as important as that is to understand, I'm a big believer that we can't get successful without making and learning from mistakes that we also make along the way as we're trying to go towards that leadership vision. Because for all leaders, right, somewhere in that journey lies failure. And I'm personally on a mission to talk about mistakes and failures more, because I think it's something that we as leaders kind of hide from other people. But if we get comfortable with it, that's when we have the ability to really stretch and where growing really happens. So, Joanne, I'd love for you to tell us a story about a failure in your journey, starting with the events that kind of led up to that failure.
So just one?
Oh, we'll start with one and we'll see where it goes.
We could talk for hours about the various failures I've had. But I agree with you. I think that's important because we have to fail in order to learn. We have to make mistakes in order to build ourselves up again and move on. And so a failure of mine, I definitely think that early on, especially when you're establishing a business, lots of business owners in particular love to take on anyone as a client. Now, this may not necessarily apply to people who work in offices, but you could kind of relate this to people who work in offices who will take on any project, and it may not be the right project for them. And for business owners like myself, taking on any client without really vetting who that client is and if that client is going to be a good client for you. So for me in particular, I just wanted to be making money. And anyone who even gave the slightest indication that they had problems with productivity, I would say, yes, they'll take you on as a client. And that's just not a good thing, because you can take on the wrong clients. You're not a good fit. For me in particular, I have to know that the person is willing to make change, and they have to understand that there's going to be a lot of work involved. And if the client doesn't know it, or they don't believe it, or they think that there's a magic bullet there where they can just swallow the pill and bing, they're all organized and they're all productive and it happens overnight, then that is the wrong client for me. And all that is going to do is spell failure. Yeah. It's going to make the client feel bad. It's going to make me feel bad because it wasn't a successful story. They're not going to refer me. It's just really bad. And that has happened on a number of occasions where I just took on any client, or I took on a client who I thought might be good and turned out I was oh so wrong.
Yeah.
So, that's not a good thing.
Absolutely. So in terms of that, how do you ensure that you're actually finding the right clients to work with?
I've learned that if I choose the wrong client, it's not their fault, it's my fault. I didn't ask the right questions. I didn't listen to my gut. I think that's a really important thing for especially business owners or newer business owners, actually even experienced business owners, to listen to, pay attention to their instincts, because sometimes your instincts are screaming, no way, but your brain is overpowering it. So no, it makes perfect sense that this person will be my client. So I think that making it very clear, for me personally, making it very clear to my potential client that they need to want to change. To if they're coming to me, then they have a lot of productivity and organizational challenges. And they need to understand that they're going to have to work hard at it to get the results. And in order to work hard at it, they need to have the motivation behind wanting that change. And it's up to me to ask those questions so that they understand that this is what it's all about. And I've actually come right out and said to people, this is not an overnight thing, and this will take a lot of work on your part. It's not going to be easy. You still want to do it. And some clients have actually said, I don't think I have the time for that. And that's perfect, because I know then they're not ready for it.
Absolutely. And that's just as important when you're in, you know, you had talked about business owner and that's a journey there. And it's just as important when you are a manager or a team player in an organization. If you're seeking someone like Joanne to come in and help you when you are feeling under chaos and, you know, kind of underwater, you as a team and as individuals, you all have to sign up and want something different in order for change to happen, right?
Yeah, you know, and managers who understand that their team is struggling and needs some help, they also have to understand that maybe not everyone on the team is going to be appreciative of that input, because there's a fear behind it as well. There's a fear that, I don't know if you remember the movie Office Space, where they bring in Bob and Bob, the productivity expert,
<Yes. laughs>
and they were there basically to see who could get fired. So whenever I'm brought in by a manager, I always try to make it clear that's not why I'm here. So there are some people on a team. There's usually one or two people who think that that's why I'm there. And so it's always good for the managers to make it clear that this is to help their personal productivity that can contribute to the team's productivity, and not we're trying to see who we can fire.
Absolutely. That's a good point. That happens a lot, actually. And I have the same issue when I come in for leadership development. That happens a lot, where people are thinking they're about to fire me and they're just trying to find a way to do it. So,
we're not that far away from 2008, 2009, the whole economy breakdown, where people were getting laid off for minor infractions because companies needed to trim down. And I think that it's still very close to us in our minds that there's still a fear from people about losing their jobs. Even though the economy is turning around in Colorado, Denver specifically, I still think there's a fear. And people want to keep their keep the details of what they do closer to their hearts and not be so open about it.
Yeah. Well, now that we've spent some time on, you know, all the failure and all the things that aren't, you know, that can go a little wrong.
Yeah.
Let's transition a little bit into, you know, something that maybe a skill or a strategy or a tool that you're passionate about that you may have learned was a key or a catalyst to your own professional or personal success, you know, and like an aha moment, so to speak. I'm really curious, what was that thing or moment for you, and what were the events that led up to that?
I kind of have an aha moment within an aha moment. I will confess something to you and all your listeners, that even though I'm a productivity specialist, or despite being a productivity specialist, or maybe this helps me to be a productivity specialist, I am a huge procrastinator. Yes, I love to put things off. And because of my procrastination challenges, that has really helped me to be much, much better at creating ways in which I can get things done. And coming up with various strategies that help to overcome my procrastination helps me move forward every day. And it's not something that I cannot think about. I think about it every single day, especially when I come up to blocks of time where I really don't want to work on something. Then I have to use my specific strategies to overcome that. And they're really mental strategies. So, for example, if someone is a really big procrastinator and they come up against something that they don't want to do, maybe they don't want to do it because it's just boring, or it's really difficult for them to wrap their brains around it, one way to get past it is to come up with the reasons why you need to get past it, whether that's what's going to happen if you don't do it, whether it is what's going to happen if you do it, you have to come up with your own strategy, your motivation to get past it. And because of that, I actually read a book called The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. Have you read that?
I have. It's a good one.
Oh, my God. This is such a great book, and I tout it everywhere I go. I've incorporated so many things from this book into my speaking engagements. It's such a great book because he says that almost everything we do is a habit, whether we realize it or not. And that includes our work routines and the way we process our thoughts. And when we put all of our habits together, like habits on their own don't mean much, but when we put them all together, it has a huge impact on our financial health, our own health, our productivity, and our happiness. So being able to create really good routines that you can turn into habits is such a great strategy for being able to improve your work, your productivity, your success. It's absolutely incredible how much it will affect you.
I love that. And it's always good to have a book resource, right? So that when people are thinking, I'm such a bad procrastinator, what can I do? Joanne,
oh my God, yeah. It's such a great book. I can't recommend it enough.
That's great. So
I don't get kickbacks on it. I don't get kickbacks on it.
Maybe you should. Maybe you should.
I'm just doing it because I love it.
So tell me, in looking at your current business right now, what is one thing that is really exciting you about leadership today?
One thing, I would say that the fact that people are talking about it so much, that people and organizations are talking more about it than when I was in corporate world. Because we never talked about it. You became a manager, but no one ever talked about you becoming a leader or helping you to develop yourself to become a leader. And it's so great that I see more and more companies setting up programs to develop your leadership qualities and your leadership skills so that you're not just a manager, you're not just a business owner, you're actually learning to become more of a leader. I love that. That is the one thing that excites me about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And in terms of your own leadership, what kind of vision do you have for yourself and your business and maybe for others that you're working with?
What kind of vision for my leadership? I would say that maybe not for me specifically, but for my whole group, I guess. I would like my whole productivity group. I think that helping people to communicate more clearly with each other and be able to have fewer misunderstandings and have more empathy. Mm-hmm. I think that's really key when we're talking about leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at all of the ways that we communicate with each other, with the tweeting and the Instagrams and texting and emails, there's such a huge opportunity to miscommunicate.
Absolutely.
Because all of these vehicles don't have a way to give your tone, intonation in there. So if you don't know the person personally, it's very easy to misread things. And so being able to communicate more clearly and have fewer misunderstandings is going to push us forward. And having more empathy is going to help people to help more people to move forward. So I think that in that you can get much more done. No matter what path you're on, you'll be able to take your project and move it forward much faster.
Interesting. I wouldn't have imagined somebody who's talking about organization and productivity to really talk about you need to be more empathetic in order for you to get more done. It wouldn't have occurred to me. I love that.
Yeah, I think that when you look at groups as whole, and I've seen all different types of management styles within corporations and how they treat their team and how their managers treat those managers and their upper management treats them. And oftentimes we just see it as the bottom line. But if you look at it as people and start to be more empathetic towards what they're doing and what their goals are and what they want, you can really help them move forward towards getting that goal done instead of just mandating numbers or figures.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think that's
And I'm sure you've seen that. You've seen that.
You know I have. No, and I just hadn't heard it really tied back to productivity, because I agree with you. Empathy is so important in terms of leadership. It's so important as you're working with people up and down. If you're working in your own business, it's important to really, you know, think about who your clients are and how you're serving them and what they might be thinking at any given time. So I absolutely agree. And empathy is a huge component. But I hadn't really heard it connected, you know, like when you're doing emails and when people are trying to work fast, I get it. It's even more important in those moments so that we're not blowing by what might be somebody trying to tell you something very important.
Yeah. No, and I don't want – oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Nope, you're good.
I don't want people to confuse empathy with being sensitive.
Right.
Because that's a completely different thing when people are oversensitive to their emails. And I see all these emails where the first three lines are, hey, how you doing? You know, I know things are really busy for you, and that's great, and I really appreciate all the work you're doing, but I really have this thing that I need you to work on, and da da da. But come on, just come out with what you need that person to do and cut down on that time. But it doesn't mean you take away the empathy. And so being empathetic and being sensitive are two completely different things.
No, that's a good point as well. So, Joanne, are you ready? We've reached the time when we're about to enter the lightning round where I'm going to provide you with a series of questions, and you get to come back to us with amazing and mind-blowing answers. I know you can do this.
Oh, the pressure. Now, is this timed? Like, do I have to give, like, really quick answers?
It's not formally timed, but there might be points one way or another. No, just kidding.
Okay.
All right, so the first question, what was holding you back from becoming a leader?
Fear. Oh, do I elaborate on that?
You may. Fear.
Fear. Fear of failure and the fear of success.
Yeah.
What do I do if I put my neck out there and it gets chopped off and I fall on my face in a public way? And what do I do if I actually am good at this and I'm starting to get a lot of followers actually listening to me? Ah, what do we do? So.
Two big ones for everybody, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the best advice you've ever received?
Oh, yeah. This is really good advice for those people who are big researchers and planners, but again, have a little fear of sticking their neck out. And I was once told that I should not plan everything to the tiniest detail before taking a step forward. That I should take that step forward, even if I'm just halfway there, and then finish out the details later. That was scary. But the reason is that if you are a planner and researcher like myself, you will plan and research things, what you want to do. Let's say it's a webinar. I'll just say that. And I'm trying to come up with a webinar on procrastination. And I start putting out the bullet points, and I come up with a great title, but I really want to flesh everything out before I put it out there. And I spend so much time fleshing out that I'm like, oh, well, maybe I should look this up. And then I go back to researching.
Yeah.
And then I come up with research, and so it's this vicious cycle. where now I will come up with a title, I'll come up with bullet points, I'll put it out there and wait for people to sign up, and then I start fleshing it out. That was very difficult for me.
Congratulations on pushing through that one. That's a hard one.
Yeah, but that was the best advice that I've gotten.
Great. Can you share one of your personal habits that you believe contributes to your success?
One of my personal habits. I would say writing everything down. Write it all down. Don't try to keep things in your head and remember everything. Just write it down. David Allen, who is a big productivity guru, he created the system Getting Things Done, said that you should not use your brain as a capturing device. You should use your brain for higher level thinking and come up with another way to capture all of your ideas and things. So I've taken that to heart, and I write down everything in my to-do list and my ideas so that I don't have to worry about forgetting things. I know where to go, where I can find all of that information. So I never am grabbing things in my brain going, wait, what was that thing I was going to do? What was I going to do? What was I going to say? What was that thing? I don't have to worry about it anymore. And that actually relieves a lot of stress for me.
Perfect. And do you have an internet resource that you are in love with that you'd love to share with our listeners today?
Toodledoo. Toodledoo.com. Yeah, it is an online task management system. It's free. You can pay for, you know, higher level, but the free version is great. And I absolutely love this task management system. It's as simple as you want it to be or as complex as you want it to be. You can even use it for project management. I love it.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'll
have to check that out, that one out. I don't know that one.
It's so good. Toodledoo.com.
Great.
Yeah.
So now, Joanne, I know you have a free resource that you want to share with our listeners today. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Freebies, yes. if your listeners would like to email me your biggest organizational challenge, just one challenge, not only will I send you a tip sheet to help improve your productivity, but I'll also include a personalized tip addressing your specific challenge, and that will get you on your road to productivity.
That's great.
Yeah, so they can email me. Oh, go ahead.
Nope, you go. They can email you at
Joanne, Joanne, at newworldoffice.com, all one word, newworldoffice.com.
Perfect.
And mention this radio program so I know that I know it's you.
And just if you can't all keep it down, if you're listening to this in the car or wherever you may be, you can find the links to this resource and everything else we've been talking about in today's interview by going to developsolutions.com/leadershipsummit. So, Joanne, as always, I've truly enjoyed talking with you today because you're so much fun and you have such great stories and that there's so much great stuff here. But as we wrap up, I'd love it if you could share one last piece of advice for our listeners and then tell them how they can find you, and then we'll say goodbye.
Yeah. I would say whether you are an entrepreneur, a business owner, a manager, someone who is trying to improve your career, whatever, I think you need to create a support system of people around you and use that support system for help, advice, collaboration, and ideas. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable and show your weak side in order to get help and improve, because we cannot do this alone. And if you can have a really great support system help move you forward, you will go so far. And that's something I wish I had done at the very beginning. So that is my biggest piece of advice for people.
That's great advice. Now tell them how they can find you if they want to learn more from your website and more of what you do.
they can go to newworldoffice.com, and I have my blog on there. I have all kinds of information on there. Or, again, they can just email me, joanne@newworldoffice.com, if they have specific questions about things.
Very good. Joanne, thank you so much for being so generous with your time and your expertise and your experience. You've given so much great information and advice that our listeners are going to be able to implement straight away to increase their productivity. So thank you.
Oh, thanks, Jen, for having me. This was so much fun.
Absolutely, girl. And again, for our listeners out there, you can find links to this resource and everything else we covered today at developsolutions.com/leadershipsummit. And while you're there, we'd really love to hear from you, both myself and Joanne. We want you to tell us what you loved about today's interview, ask any questions that you're dying to know, and we'll make sure that we get you the answers. So with that, we'll say goodbye for now. Go out and be the leader you were meant to be. This is Jennifer Olson, and we'll catch you next time.